Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the challenges that pastors face, young and old alike, is the tendency of proclaiming the reality of sin in a manner so anemic that it hardly causes the people in the pew to wiggle, much less run for cover. When one hears our text from the Epistle of James, one realizes that the powerful prophetic preaching of John the Baptist and Jesus that both drew and convicted people continued in the preaching of the apostolic church. James spares no punches in uncovering the ugliness of our sin. He integrates theology and life in a manner very much like his older brother and Lord. The situation which James preaches to in this epistle is far from tranquil. In his words, we hear a pastor who knows what's going on in the church, including the garbage that goes on behind closed doors and in the dark corners of our mind. He writes, "What causes wars? What causes fighting among you? Is it not your passions that are at war in your members? You desire and do not have, so you kill. And you covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and wage war. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Adulterous creatures, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." The battle that goes on within this first century church and within each one of us today is not a mere temporary skirmish. It is a war within each and every one of us as our sinful man seeks to place himself on the throne that Christ, the new man in us, now occupies. This war erupts in rampant self-indulgence that grows from covetousness. After all, who of us doesn't feel that an essential part of life is a 54-inch high-definition TV, at least two laptops, an iPod, and an iPhone, and certainly a more sexy spouse than we currently have? And in heated words to those who closest to us wound them and penetrate deeper than Dirty Harry's 44 Magnum. Yes, most of us are much better at pointing out the pietist among us than encouraging piety among us. Life in the church, according to James, according to the Holy Scriptures, is a daily war against the devil and the idolatry from which we have been rescued, but which ever lurks within us, seeking to reclaim the throne from Christ. A pretty depressing portrait of the church and of each of us, isn't it? That is why James says to all of us, "Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to dejection." Fortunately, James also writes in the midst of this blistering critique, "He, namely Christ, yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell within us." In the midst of this critique, this condemnation, James reminds the church, reminds each of us of our baptism. He reminds us of the Spirit that Christ has placed within us, the Spirit of Christ, the presence of Christ in us, ever seeking to ward off suitors. Christ is that jealous husband watching over us, seeking to continue to cultivate that loving union with us, warding off Satan and other suitors who would lure us away from him as our true bridegroom. But he gives more grace to the humble, James writes. That immeasurable grace poured out upon us in our baptism. He continues to offer abundantly and without limit, grace upon grace, to all who recognize their wretchedness, who recognize their ever-present and desperate need for the righteous one, Jesus Christ. In grace, God punished his Son for all of the results, the ugly results of the war that rages in each of us and all around us. He was condemned so that we stand here today, pardoned, forgiven. Yes, because Jesus resisted the devil and bound him in his own atoning death, we can, in Christ, resist Satan, resist the devil, and tell him to go to hell where he belongs, not only on the day of our baptism, but each and every day. As we enter the Advent season, this apostolic word calls upon us to humble ourselves before the Lord and once again assures us that the Lord will exalt us. He seated us in the heavenly places already at our baptism. There we are with Christ as his living body, and he continues to raise us each day from the muck of our sin so that we reign with him. As in these past church years, he will continue in this new church year to give grace upon grace, day in and day out in this new church year. The humble posture of reception that James calls for here is evident in the Advent prayer that many of us will sing, no doubt, several times in the weeks ahead. Christ Jesus, Lord and Savior, come. I open wide my heart, your home. Oh, enter with your radiant grace. On my life's pattern shine your face, and let your Holy Spirit guide to gracious vistas, rich and wide. Our God, we praise your name forevermore the same. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.